I press record, and then I have to tell you what I'm doing. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut in Appalachian culture. And then I have to ask, have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Nah, dude.
Okay. Yes. So the first thing, if you could just like state your name, where you're from, how old you are, what I'm going to start out with.
Okay, you ready?
Go for it.
Okay. My name is Robert Watts, and I work for Eastern Kentucky University at Lily Cornet Woods, and I am 59 years old.
Okay. Well, the first question I've asked people is, have you ever actually seen an American chestnut, or do you have any memories of chestnut yourself, and what are those memories?
I've not had no memories of the old chestnuts, just the chestnut snags, but I have seen some trees growing now that's about 10 inches in diameter. Of course, they have got showing some signs of blight. They have got a certain percent of resistance, or they would have already been dead. But they're doing fairly well, you know, and who knows, they might make it for a long time, you know. And but, you know, I don't suspect they will.
Yeah. Have you ever heard people around here, people who come visit, tell you anything about... about the chestnut, or?
Most people that come here to visit doesn't know that much about the American chestnut, but I have had some of the old-timers to talk about them. It's how big they got, 4 or 5 feet in diameter, 100 feet tall, and chestnuts everywhere, you know, for the simple reason that when they flower in about mid-June. Therefore, they're missing all the frost, you know. So they could produce every year, just about every year, you know. So I've heard a lot of the old-timers talk about going out and gathering them, you know. Of course, they also was a good wildlife food for deer, wild turkey. Then a lot of people... back in those days, let their hogs run wild, you know, just roam, and they ate them, you know, fattened them up.
So, when did you find those chestnuts here in Lily Cornet Woods, and what did you do when you found them?
The chestnut tree that we pollinated is not on the woods. The only thing that I've ever found here at Lily Cornet Woods is just a small sapling. I found this tree probably 5 years ago, and contacted the American Chestnut Foundation, the Kentucky chapter, and some guys came up and looked at it to verify that it was American chestnut, you know. Then we started to work then after that to get it pollinated, you know, and get some nuts from it.
Do you think that, so like on average, people who come to Lily Cornet Woods and look at your display, what do you think, most of them have just never heard of American chestnut, or most of them have heard of it but don't know anything about it? Or?
A lot of people has not heard about it. Of course, you know, a lot of people that come here is not old enough to know anything about it. Mm-hmm. So, but like I said, a lot of people come here and they've never heard of American chestnut. They got no idea what it is, you know. Down here in the flatland, we got two seedlings that is pure American that is growing. They're not blight resistant as far as I know, but you know, they could make it, you know. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Speak to me a little bit about the history of Lily Cornet Woods, like, just to give you a little bit about who Lily Cornet was and why this place is special.
Lily Cornet was just a plain man, you know. A lot of people think he's a woman, but he was a man, you know. And he bought the property up in about the late teens, the early 20s. And he refused to sell the timber from it. So he died in 1958. And his sons inherited it. And in 1969, they sold it to the state. For the first, from 69 until 1977, the Division of Forestry managed it. And then in 1977, Eastern took over and started to manage it.
So how unique is it that this has never been logged?
Well, we got 554 acres here, and it's never been logged. And it, when people come here and walk through it, it's something that they have never seen before, and probably never will see, you know.
So everywhere else has been logged?
Everywhere else has been logged, yeah. At least once, some twice, some three times, you know. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear any stories about when the blight came through, or that Lily Cornet himself would have, anything about that? Because I guess that would have been kind of, especially if he cared about the woods, maybe he would have had an interesting, be more worried about that or something.
He probably was, because the American chestnut made up about 25% of the forest. So he probably was concerned, but, you know, there's nothing nobody could do. Nobody could do anything about it. In my opinion, if people hadn't started cutting them all and just waited until they died and took out the dead ones, we probably would have had some trees today still standing, big trees that would have been blight resistant.
Mm-hmm.
They're.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
Other people say mm-hmm. that, yeah. Do you think, like, the chestnut trees are an important part of the culture here, or people's kind of heritage or memory in any way?
Yeah, I think it would be, yeah.
Is there any, like, examples you can point to that would?
Well, you see a lot of old houses and barns that was built out of American chestnut wood. It used to be you saw a lot of fences, crooked rail fences that was made out of American chestnut, but forest fires burned most of them up. But you can find several old houses and barns still left that they're not completely made out of American chestnut, but they got American chestnut in it,
mm-hmm.
certain parts of it.
Have you ever heard any old timers talk about the blight at all, or what people thought was happening, or?
No, I that's one part I never did get into. I never did hear none of the old timers talk about seeing trees that had blight on it or anything. You know, no, I didn't.
Hmm. Well, do you think it would be important to restore the tree here? Do you think people who live around here would like to see it come back? And why do you think they'd like to see it come back?
Most definitely. The new ones that is coming out that they done the back cross with, it's going to be 15/16 American and 1/16 Chinese. In my opinion, you wouldn't have enough trees, seedlings to distribute out for people. They'd be wanting them so fast. They're interested in seeing them come back. Probably the biggest thing that most people nowadays wants to see them come back for is wildlife. I don't think you'd see many people eating them. Maybe small amount, you know, just now and then. I don't think they'd be using it for food supply, you know. But I think most people's wanting them back now for wildlife. Definitely.
So what kind of wildlife would you think would be the main ones?
Deer and wild turkey would be the main ones that would really love the American chestnut now.
What are those animals eating right now in the woods instead of chestnuts?
Acorns, mostly, yeah. And our acorn crop will, the oak trees will produce probably one out of about 3 years. So when they've not got that, then, you know, they just have to rely on branches, tree branches, grass, whatever they can get. And that's why you see a lot of, especially wild turkey, that comes out in the fields in the wintertime looking for food. Seeds, grass seeds, weed seed.
Did you ever hear anybody around here talk about using the tannin in the bark?
No. I've read about it, but I never heard of anybody around here using it.
Do you think people would want to use would ever grow chestnut the same way that they grow pine for kind of for lumber and paper, stuff like that?
No, I believe if the American chestnut does come back and everything goes as planned, I don't think you'll ever see people cutting them for the simple reason that, you know, they think if they start, you know, then people will just continue and then cut it all out, you know. No, I don't suspect you'll ever see a American chestnut tree cut. No.
So you've been involved a little bit in the restoration effort with pollinating that tree that you said that you found, but has Lily Cornet Woods itself been involved with the restoration effort at all?
Probably the most thing that they've been involved in is my supervisor in Richmond does allow me enough time to help do it. So that's about the extent, you know. Yeah.
Do you think that y'all would plant these hybrid chestnut trees in Lily Cornet Woods or no?
No, I don't think here around at the visitor center here, we probably might. And the woods over there, I don't think it will, because that would be introducing. It's really what it amount to. You'd be introducing a tree, you know, and I don't think it'd go for that, no. But around the visitor center here, we would probably have some. Yeah.
Do you think that there's any issue with the fact that it's not 100% American?
Ask that again.
So the fact that there's this 1/16th part of the tree that's Chinese, it's not actually a full-blooded American, do you think people will have an issue with that?
No, I don't think they really will. Places like this, Lily Cornet Woods, wouldn't, you know, necessarily put them in the woods, but other people will. You know, private landowners, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd welcome them back, you know.
Do you think that people in, like, the rural, southern kind of mountain places would be more excited about it than other places, or all the same?
It'd probably be about the same. I think the people that's going to be most excited about it is your sportsmen, people that hunt. Yeah.
So when you get a hiker and hear that ask a question about chestnut trees, what's the kind of a most popular question that they might ask?
Have we got any growing? How big? Are they producing fruit? Most of that kind of questions.
So what do you think makes people interested in a chestnut like that? Like, why do you think that person who asked that question is curious about it?
Simply because they've probably never seen one. They've got no idea what it looks like. They've got no idea what the fruit looks like. Not even the burrs. I think it would,
just because they're so rare and people just heard a little bit about them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, have you ever heard anybody talk about how the forest looked, or like kind of ecologically how the forests were different when there were chestnut trees there?
Well, like I said, the forest was made up of about 25%. The American chestnut grew up around the ridge tops where it was dry. They could stand a lot of environmental issues, Probably when the American chestnut went, then chestnut oak started thriving pretty good, as well as red maple coming back, So when you had all them trees, I've heard some of the old-timers talk about that the mountaintops looked like it was covered with snow because the bloom is white, So if you had them, they were very close together, then it probably would look like that. And the problem is now, is like the trees that I've been finding that is 10 inches in diameter would produce fruit if they had another tree that was flowering that, could pollinate. But that's the problem, They're not one close enough. I know the tree that we've been pollinating, they're not one close enough to pollinate yet.
So, do you think the whole bat cross breeding system for making this blight-resistant tree is the best? Do you agree with that way of doing it, or do you think there could have been another way? Or
no, I agree. Nothing else comes to mind to me that you could cross with the American chestnut and keep a blight off of it. That was the main reason. Is crossing it with the Chinese. The Chinese will keep a blight down. And hopefully it's gonna work. Mm-hmm. I've got high hopes that it will. People our age will never see a forest of American chestnut again. But we might live long enough to see some trees producing. Mm-hmm. And that would be great.
Why do you think it ended up being this non-profit or this like private group of people who ended up breeding up this chestnut tree? Why don't you think that like the Fish and Wildlife people or the Forest Service people or even a university group ever did a I know people, they've thought about it and there is. They've tried it in the past, but why do you think it ended up being this private group of people who finally seem to be pulling it off?
They were probably more interested and probably had more time to deal with the issue than people from universities and Fish and Wildlife, It takes quite a few people dealing with that to ever make it work.
So go ahead.
And you get a lot of people that's retired, that would donate their time to help bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think motivated those people to get involved and to stick with it?
Of course, everybody, about everybody you talk to love the American Chestnut, you know. Probably so much as everybody was wanting them to come back, you know, is to get them back. It's probably the main reason that, you know. And another thing, you've got so many other, several other diseases that's coming in. Insects that's working on other trees, you know. So it would have been a good time to start on the American Chestnut, since probably it was the first one that went to get it brought back.
Do you think that if they're able to bring back the chestnut, that there'll be hope for other trees too?
Probably so. If they do enough research, farther down the road, yeah, I'd say good chances, you know.
Why do you think there's more older people involved in the effort than young people?
More you older people is more interested in the forest than younger people. Younger people seem to take no interest, you know, it's no benefit, you know, so why deal with it? The older people, many of them have seen what the forest has looked like 50, 60, 75 years ago. So I'd say that's a good possibility why that they would want to be more interested in it.
Do you think there's any hope that the young people will get more interested in it? And if so, how do you think would be a good way to involve them?
One thing to get them involved is through school.
Have you guys done anything through schools?
Some, yeah. Very little. We worked with Kingdom Come School up here before it closed down. We had several kids that were interested in it, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, do you know anything about the Chestnut Festival they used to have there?
Yeah.
I've been trying to find somebody to talk to. I know Betty Cottle, who was the principal there, she passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find somebody to talk to about that festival, but can you just tell me what you know about it?
Well, yeah, I attended all of them except last year. I didn't get to. Since the school has closed down, last year I think they had it up at Gordon Fire Department. Usually, I don't know what they done last year, but the previous years that I attended, we took bus from Letcher County Board of Education had provided us a bus, and we loaded people up and would take them and show them the American Chestnut, which they had a lot of displays set up of the American Chestnuts. They had people there that was making the small stuff out of American Chestnut, like picture frames and that sort of thing. Of course, they had music, you know. And it was pretty nice. Nice little festival. And I hope that they will continue. And, you know, I can keep you informed.
Yeah,
you know.
I would like to come to it this fall. It,
it's usually in October. So it's a nice little festival.
Have you ever heard of any other chestnut festivals besides the one on Line Fork?
No, I haven't. No. No, I haven't.
So why did they decide to start a chestnut festival, do you know?
To get the kids involved. We started working with the kids up there at the school, getting them involved in it, and then we decided just go ahead and have a little festival up there at the school, you know.
But why like a chestnut festival and not an oak festival or a maple festival? Like?
Well, simple reason, because the American chestnut is gone, you know, and the restoration project that they're working on. Yeah.
So the kid, you think the kids were into it?
Yeah, they were, very much so.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of good questions. Do you have are there any concerns or hopes or fears kind of stuff that you have about the restoration process?
No, not really. You know, there's nothing with the way, you know, they done the back cross, you know. We've already got Chinese chestnut here. You know, that's what you see around in people's yards all the time. And taking the American chestnut and crossing it with Chinese, no, I don't see a problem, you know. Don't see a problem.
Where did all the Chinese chestnuts come from? Did they plant them here? I guess.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Why do you think people planted them, the Chinese chestnuts, because they missed the American chestnuts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They planted them. A lot of people like to eat them, you know. Yeah, that was the primary reason, because of the American chestnut was gone. And they had opportunity to get a chestnut back, even though it was Chinese, you know, and they took opportunity and advantage of it. And you see a lot, you know, sitting around in people's yards.
I have seen a lot since I've been driving around. There's a few on Cowan.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that's about all my questions. I've been asking a lot of people about feeding them to livestock, and did you sell chestnuts? How did you store them? Was your house made out of chestnut? Stuff like that, but that's more geared towards people who actually were, when they were young, were still around.
That's true.
But are there any other, I guess I can ask you, is there any like traditions or sayings or celebrations that you've come across that are besides the Chestnut Festival?
None other than the festival they have in Kingdom Come School.
Mm-hmm. And you said you didn't really remember anybody talking about the blight.
No.
Or anything like that. Did you grow up here?
Yes. Uh-huh.
In Halley?
Yeah.
So you said you were only 52 or something like that?
59.
Do you ever hear your parents say anything about chestnut or?
I've heard my dad talk about them.
What did your dad say?
Well, he'd basically talk about, you know, that the trees were big. Every year they produce good, you know. And, you know, they used them for food, you know. Probably not as a meal, as you would say as a meal, but between meals and that sort of thing. And he has talked about hogs, you know, getting real fat on them. And wildlife, you know, there's plenty of wildlife, you know, wild turkey and deer. And so when the American chestnut went, then so did a lot of our wildlife, you know.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing too. So the wildlife went extinct in the chestnut was blighted in like the 20s and 30s. And I was wondering, did anything else change about this area in general, or about the forest, or just the way people lived during that same time that could be associated with the chestnut blight?
Well, the forest changed because you had a lot of people cutting them, making them into lumber. Then, like I said before, you had other species coming in that was replacing the American chestnut. They were already here, but they was, especially the red maple, was an understory tree at that time. Then when the American chestnut, the black killed it out, then they become, a lot of them become overstory, you know.
How did you get interested, or how did you come to work here? Why did you want to work here? Did you study forestry in school or something?
No, I didn't study forestry in school. The boy that started here when the state bought it, he got killed in a car accident. And the job just came open, and I thought I might like it. And I hired on, and I've been here since 1972.
Would you say that is there like one kind of tree that people ask the most about, or like how do you, would you say chestnut, are people most interested in chestnut when they come here over other kinds of trees, or is there a different kind of tree that is more interesting to people?
Well, most people ask about the American chestnut, but since we've not got anything to show them except seedlings, you know. Probably there's several species that over there that catches people's eye. You got big hemlock, big tulip poplar, big white oak, you got big red oak. And a lot of them is near the trail, right close to the trail where they can see them real good, you know. And that catches their eye pretty good. Yep.
Okay. Do you have a lot of wild game over in there? You see a bunch of much?
Well, we have probably what everybody else has got, private landowners here, you know. Most all you small games over there, squirrels, rabbits, foxes, coyotes, bobcats, wild turkey, deer. I've never seen an elk here. Of course, elk's more of a grazer than a browser. And we not got that much grazing land. So, you know, we probably might not even see an elk here. If it is, it'd probably be passing through.
So I guess, like, the Chestnut Foundation, they've bred this blight-resistant tree, and they're at the point where they think it's good enough to try to release it back into the wild. And you got that map in there. They want to release it all across the range, which is all the way up to Maine, New York, and down into Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So they're not, I guess they put a lot of energy and thought into breeding this tree, but they've not put as much energy and thought into how they're going to release it back into the wild and have enough in close proximity to where they can breed. And do you think that's going to be a difficult, or do you have any kind of advice or ideas for how they might do that? Or do you think that'll be more difficult than breeding the tree, or less difficult?
Well, it'll probably be less difficult. The most important thing when you're putting out young trees like that is you gotta protect them from deers eating them off, or rabbits chewing the bark off them. I think you're going to see probably a good percentage of the American chestnut cross is on strip jobs. I think that's where they're going to be putting most of them, or a good percentage of them, you know, which I think is a real good idea. I know they have tried a few pure Americans, and they're doing real well on strip jobs.
Do you know Michael French?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah.
What about private landowners around here? Do you think they'd be willing to put the energy in to protect, you know, clearing out a spot and protecting them from the deer. And
I think it would. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I think it would. Because they're wanting the American chestnut back, you know. And deer will be a problem for a while, you know. They might even, you know, have to fence some areas, you know, or put wire baskets around them, you know, until they get, you know, certain height.
Has there been any other programs like similar to that, like land programs that private landowners have been asked to participate in? That is there anything similar to this kind of thing that you can think of?
No, not really. No.
I was just thinking, like, I know when they introduced all that elk back around here, was there any sort of landowner action that had to be taken with all that?
No, not really, because there are not that many people farming around here now. The by the only thing is people would protect is their garden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be about the only thing.
Well, I guess you just have any last thoughts on why the restoration project is important and what you think it'll mean to have chestnuts back here on Lime Fork and in southern Appalachia?
Well, I think it's a much needed project that they did go ahead and do the back cross to get them coming back, for the simple reason as just like we was pollinating the tree up there that I found, we were getting 100% American chestnuts off of it. Well, you could take the seedlings out and plant them, then, you know, it's a good percent chance that you'd not get any of them that would survive. You know, I mean, they would live for a while, then the blight's going to get them. And that seems to me would be the only way that they could cross them and keep and have that much 15-16 of American chestnut in it and still get it blight, control of blight.
I guess I thought of a question, but I lost it. Something about, yeah, I can't remember. But no, that was great. I guess that's about it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.